did my best to notice when the call came down the line. Up to the platform of surrender, I was brought but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, clear your heart. Cut the cord. Are we human? Or are we dancer? My sign is vital. My hands are cold. And I'm on my knees looking for the answer. Are we human? Or are we dancer? Send my condolences to good. Give my regards to soul and romance. They always did the best they could. And so long to devotion. You taught me everything I know. Wave goodbye. Wish me well.
I believe it incumbent upon the next president of the United States to get this country moving again, to get our economy moving ahead, to set before the American people its goals, its unfinished business. And then throughout the world, appoint the best people we can get, ambassadors who can speak the language, not merely people who made a political contribution, but who can speak the language. Bring students here. Let them see what kind of a country we have. Mr. Nixon said that we should not regard them as pawns in the Cold War. We should identify ourselves with them. If that were true, why didn't we identify ourselves with the people of Africa? Why didn't we bring students over here? Why did we suddenly offer Congo 300 students last June when they had the tremendous revolt? That was more than we had offered to all of Africa the year before from the federal government. I believe that this party, Republican Party, has stood still really for 25 years, its leadership has. It opposed all of the programs of President Roosevelt and others for minimum wage and for housing, economic growth and development of our natural resources, the Tennessee Valley and all the rest. And I believe that if we can get a party which believes in movement, which believes in going ahead, then we can reestablish our position in the world. Strong defense, strong in economic growth, justice for our people, guarantee of constitutional rights, so that people will believe that we practice what we preach. And then around the world, particularly to try to reestablish the atmosphere which existed in Latin America at the time of Franklin Roosevelt. He was a good neighbor in Latin America because he was a good neighbor in the United States. Because they saw us as a society that was compassionate, that cared about people, that was moving this country ahead. I believe it my responsibility as the leader of the Democratic Party in 1960 to try to warn the American people that in this crucial time we can no longer afford to stand still. We can no longer afford to be second best. I want people all over the world to look to the United States again, to feel that we're on the move, to feel that our high noon is in the future. I want Mr. Khrushchev to know that a new generation of Americans who fought in Europe and Italy and the Pacific for freedom in World War II have now taken over in the United States, that they're going to put this country back to work again. I don't believe that there's anything this country cannot do. I don't believe there's any burden, any responsibility that any American would not assume to protect his country, protect our security, to advance the cause of freedom. And I believe it incumbent upon us now to do that. Franklin Roosevelt said in 1936 that that generation of Americans had a rendezvous with destiny. I believe in 1960 and 61 and 2 and 3, we have a rendezvous with destiny. And I believe it incumbent upon us to be the defenders of the United States and the defenders of freedom. And to do that, we must give this country leadership and we must get America moving again.
Senator Kennedy has said tonight again what he has said several times in the course of these debates and in the campaign, that America is standing still. America is not standing still. It has not been standing still. Anybody that says America has been standing still for the last 7.5 years hasn't been traveling in America. He's been in some other country. Let's get that straight right away. Now, the second point we have to understand is this, however. America has not been standing still, but America cannot stand pat. We can't stand pat for the reason that we're in a race, as I've indicated. We can't stand pat because it is essential with the conflict that we have around the world that we not just hold our own, that we not keep just freedom for ourselves. It is essential that we extend freedom, extend it to all the world. And this means more than what we've been doing. It means keeping America even stronger militarily than she is. It means seeing that our economy moves forward even faster than it has. It means making more progress in civil rights than we have, so that we can be a splendid example for all the world to see. But we aren't going to move America forward, and we aren't going to be able to lead the world to win this struggle for freedom if we have a permanent inferiority complex about American achievements. Because we are first in the world in space, as I've indicated. We are first in science. We are first in education. And we're going to move even further ahead with the kind of leadership that we can provide in these years ahead. One other point I would make. What could you do? Senator Kennedy and I are candidates for the presidency of the United States. And in the years to come, it will be written that one or the other of us was elected and that he was or was not a great president. What will determine whether Senator Kennedy or I, if I am elected, was a great president? It will not be our ambition that will determine it, because greatness is not something that is written on a campaign poster. It will be determined to the extent that we represent the deepest ideals, the highest feelings and faith of the American people. In other words, the next president, as he leads America in the free world, can be only as great as the American people are great. And so I say in conclusion, keep America's faith strong. See that the young people of America particularly have faith in the ideals of freedom and faith in God, which distinguishes us from the atheistic materialists who oppose us.
Happy to put a warning on an album that said explicit lyrics, parental guidance.
Let me ask you this. If we have categories and labels and rating systems for movies, why are you opposed to a similar rating system for records?
Well, if a person is hired as an actor for a film, whatever they rate the film doesn't hurt the actor as a person. He is a hired hand and he's pretending. If a person makes an album and he's written the song or he's performing the song and his name is on the album and his picture is on the album, if you rate the album, you're rating the person and you apply a stigma to that individual, and that's not fair.
I think high definition is decadent.
The other voice you're hearing is Mike Mann. He's here as a guest. He's a member of the Cree Nation, amongst other things.
Hi, how are you?
Anyway, back to HD television. I think it's a little bit decadent, but how do you get them home? That's what I want to know. How do you, if you're on a bike and you go down to the store and you decide you're going to get a 42-inch
No one buys an HD set on a bike.
But how do you get it? Do you get it in a cab? Like, how did you get it? How did you get it to your house?
Well, I threw it in my big Chrysler, but the people we bought it from do deliver.
They do?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
All these joints deliver.
So, my thoughts about HD. Daniel brings me these screen captures to boast that he has HD. I'll tell you something. Yeah. The standard definition stations, the ones that are not broadcasting in HD, when you have one of those 42-inch sets, you've never seen anything worse. I mean, I'm coming from an era where I used to watch ghosty television with scrambled. If there was a show on in Rochester, New York, and there was freak reception where we might barely get that station, and let's say Bugs Bunny was on or something, I'd be watching like absolute snow, and it'd be coming in and out. And but I mean, this is almost as bad as snow, if not worse. But it does look bad. So I think that when you sort of start watching almost anything that's in HD, forget the content. Forget whether it's a good show. Entertainment just goes out the window. Let's see whether other people have HD sets, HD television sets.
Too many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
Unbelievable. The arrogant indifference and utter incompetence of this administration at every level. It is pervasive. It is shameful. And the fact that the American people have had to put up with this and continue to do so. It's just incredible. That is just an unbelievable story.
Everybody, I'm hired as an actor. Let it be known, I'm stigmatized. I'm stigmatized, I tell you. My picture's on the cover of this radio album. As I said, I'm hired as an actor.
When did that break?
I know a shameful regime. And I'm stigmatized, I tell you. I'm stigmatized. Hey, everybody. Oh, are those the women? They are. Oh, so nice to hear their voices again. They're little singers, I'll have to say. Thanks for showing up this morning.
Where are they from, Greg? I don't know the source of that.
I don't know where they're from either. I can't tell.
You don't know who did this? You don't know who did the song? You don't know who did the song? The
Bell No. I don't know who did the song. At least if I did. If I did, I'm not going to say.
It's a good upper for Sunday morning.
It is. It is. Hey, that's Bob. I'm Greg. It's Greg Duffel here. I'm calling in. I'm phoning this show in.
On my back.
In a stigmatized kind of way.
On my back, Greg.
On your back. Oh, that's true? Yeah. On Bob's telephone backbone. We're both, what do you call it? Oh, gosh, it's early here this morning. Oh, my gosh.
We're in the Pacific Rim.
Did you stay up? I'm on the West Coast.
Yeah, we're on the Pacific Rim, man.
Yeah, that's right. We're heading to Asia. Both of us hired as an actor and stigmatized with our pictures on the cover of a radio album.
24, just in time. I'm looking at a blurb on the Fed's report.
Boy, are we offensive? Oh, this show is going to be the most offensive show I think we've ever done. It's going to offend everybody.
It's because we feel safe?
As if it doesn't offend everybody every week.
It's because we feel safe or far away?
Yeah. We're out of the line of fire. We're both discarded. Has the music ended already?
Yeah.
Hey, the music ended. What do you know? It's harder to tell when you don't have headphones on. Good morning and welcome to the show again, the Sunday morning program here that you've been waiting for weeks. That other guy, you know that other guy? The other guy who sits in the studio? He was the guy that sounds a bit like me. He was doing a show over the last couple of weeks, totally canned. That show was in the can. No live person in there at all. Well, none that we'll admit to, anyway. And, last week, and I don't even think I realized or that person, if it was me, realized the significance of last week's program totally. It was done in such a hurry, but I realized after I had done it, and I guess I did do it, I did do a program with Tom Power. It was all about the Cuban Revolution, the 50 years of the Cuban Revolution. And I suppose we'll talk about that a bit later on. And then the week before that was a whole show about Get Smart, totally about Get Smart. Probably had no relevance to almost anybody out there. They were confused. Why are they? Why is it gone in this direction? Why is this show head over there? This is offensive. This is offensive to me. You know, this is a reason to stigmatize this person that does this program, to even do that to us, our radio audience, to do the whole thing about Get Smart.
But who's the community for Get Smart? Come on.
Yeah, who's there? Who remembers this program from 40 years ago?
Even the phrase Get Smart does not apply to CKLN.
Yeah, and it's so elitist to even bring it up. It only exists now on a DVD box set. You have to go out and buy a DVD.
I remember, Greg.
And I am going to be more hypocritical today than ever, and I'm going to admit it right off the top. Anyway, Bob Dobbs is with me. He's over in Hawaii. I'm Greg Duffel. I'm in Victoria, British Columbia. I'm willing to admit it today.
What's wrong with your voice,
I'm
Greg?
I'm here on the island off the coast of Western Canada. I'm sitting in a luxurious, I have to say, it is a luxurious living room on a quiet little street.
Did you get dumped already, Greg?
The street, but it's inside glass and so on. There's...
An NDP housewife went all the way to the top of Canadian wealth and abundance for appliance.
That's true. Oh, my gosh. Yes, I'm sitting here in the lap of luxury in middle class. I'd say it's very, very middle class, except there's a big stone fireplace here. Just to give you a bit of a background, a bit of atmosphere, I'm just sitting here. I didn't have to... ride over on my bicycle. I didn't have to weather the storm or whatever's happening in Toronto to get over to the operation there to sit in front of the mic and get the show started. That fell to someone else. We'll see whether he wants to be spoken of. Our volunteer that showed up, our brave CKLN volunteer that showed up to help with the program, who's sitting there listening to this rubbish. Yeah, and there won't be many clips, or you've heard all the clips, I think, today, because it was just out of my control to try to create a show with all kinds of clips today. I was taken away from all of my equipment for the last 2.5 weeks, all of my sound-making equipment. But now there was a clip played. What was played this morning was presentation made for you by an unknown individual. I won't even give credit to them right now. I'll probably do that a bit later, perhaps. And they put that together, and they found me, I don't know whether I'm being hypocritical or just, I sounded a bit silly, really, talking about HD television. Bob, do you have HD television?
No, I don't have TV anymore. It's TV constantly here with the virtual reality of Hawaii, of Maui. I mean, I don't have much anything. I don't need any to walk around my underwear. I swim and surf, you know.
You're sort of like Gandhi over there, are you?
Remember that CBC show 50 years ago, Beachcomber? That's what I'm doing.
You're Bruno Gerussi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He lives right next door to McClellan's secretary on some street near, what's the one, Rosedale subway station.
You know, I just mentioned Bruno Gerussi. About 20-some-odd years ago, when Bruno Gerussi was still alive, I worked on a commercial for McCain's. Now, you know McCain's.
New Brunswick.
Food company.
Chip. New Brunswick.
McCain's Food Company supports many fantastic broadcasting institutions in Canada. And one of them is CBC News World. At least it used to be. I don't know whether they do it anymore. But
and they support CKLN.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, okay.
But I'm really not sure about that. But McCain's Food, they supported CBC News World for years and years and years. When I come to think of it now, I don't really hear their or see their ads on television much anymore for that cake, that grandmother who's trying to stuff that horrible cake down those children's faces.
Sneaks
it behind the mother. And
for breakfast.
Anyway, this was a... a commercial for
breakfast, Greg.
Very, very thin pizza crust. And I was doing a little animated demo sequence It was horrible, this animated demo sequence. I wasn't sure why we were doing it at all, and I was...
You mean it was horrible what the assignment was?
Yeah, it was a bit of a horrible assignment, I thought. It just wasn't something that was ever going to look any good, and the way we were directed to do it. But at any rate, for some peculiar reason, I had to go over to where they were shooting the live-action portion of the commercial, and Bruno Derussi was in the live action, and they were doing this 35-millimeter motion picture shoot over at somebody's house. They'd rented somebody's house. They'd used that for the location. And Bruno Derussi, who you might remember he did a cooking show, Bob?
Yep.
He did some CBC cooking show. So suddenly, like Sam Waterston is a legal expert now, or a financial expert that wanders around with doing promotional announcements for TD, Waterhouse, somehow. I don't know why he's involved in finance when on television he's a legal expert. But Bruno Derussi, because he did this TV show on the CBC about cooking, either while he was doing the Beachcombers or after he did the Beachcombers, suddenly he was a cooking maven, and McCain's hired him to be in this commercial. I remember going over to this place and meeting Bruno Derussi. Nothing really interesting to tell. He just seemed very bored and tired of the whole thing. And then he would get up and do his performing act and then go away, you know, and sit over in the corner and wait until they had another setup for him to do. But anyway.
It's a horrible life being an actor on that level.
So, yeah, it's like you've got to sort of... You know, you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting, and then you say, okay, go in there and cry. Go in there and be happy. Go in there and be sad.
Then they do it again. Then they got to do it again. Then they got to do it again, Greg. Then they got to do it again.
But the good thing about being an actor, it's obvious that you're being hired as an actor, and you're not stigmatized necessarily by what you're being asked to say or asked to do.
You're making Zappa's point in the
everybody,
warning.
Everybody, yes. It's a little bit different than what we're doing. I mean, in a sense, or in a full sense, I'm acting here. Or am I? I don't know.
No, you're acting daily, 24/7, under satellite conditions. This is a release from acting.
That's a 22.
They act like Canadians. They pretend they're in a bordered place, and they live in a little area, and they got to pay taxes. That's all an act. It's not what's happening, as the last few months have shown us.
That's a 22, you're Bob. Living in an area where you don't need TV, because... you've got these beautiful vistas that you're looking at in Hawaii. And I'm not saying it isn't beautiful here, but it's raining and cloudy.
I'm not in the dream. You guys are looking for the dream. I am in the dream. I'm in the dream, or the realization of it. You guys are wanting to get here. And all the ads show pictures of Hawaii to get you there, to buy a car, to drive to Hawaii.
Cool
or
Bob.
To buy
cool
it,
Bob. A big screen.
Bob, I'm a Heptad manager, Bob.
That sounds like Dave 3 or 2.
I'm Heptad. You're Pentad. I'm Heptad, Bob.
is that Dave or the other guy?
That's Dave,
I digest
that's
you. Hi,
Dave
Greg.
Two. Well, hey, Dave 2. How you doing?
Merry New Year, Bob and Greg. And Danny.
Merry New Year.
Listen,
he
must be listening to the old archives. I'm Hexad manager. You're Pentad.
this is all a discarnate show. I'm discarnate here. Bob is discarnate in Hawaii, and we've got Dave too discarnately. We may never hear on this whole program a person on
the phone,
a microphone,
Greg.
From a studio.
Three guys on
it's
the
a
phone
really,
show.
It's a milestone in terms of this
stops
program.
Down. It's Dobstown. We are now fully Dobstown.
Are you hearing what a milestone this is, Dave too?
It's three guys on the phone, Greg. That's all it is.
it's really technological in this era, I have to say. I tried to do something interesting for the shows that I was away. And what I did was I contacted the community radio station in Victoria. And my idea was this, and I've tried this before. I got in touch with them, and I said, I'm a fantastic radio broadcaster from Toronto, Canada. Absolutely one of the best you'd ever thought. No one would ever think of stigmatizing me or calling me offensive, really. And I wrote that in the letter. And I said, I've looked at your program schedule for Sunday morning, and I don't see anything there in particular. It looks like you just run music or a test pattern, if they do such a thing on radio. And, you know, with the Indian head and those sort of lines around it and, you know, little things, a test pattern. And I said, I think it would be an interesting idea. Of course I would think it would be an interesting idea for me to broadcast in Victoria, and then we would hook this over by Internet to Toronto. So we'd have a show going out in Victoria at 5:30 in the morning, and then the show going out in Toronto at 8:30 Eastern Time. And let me just say, it was rejected summarily, you know, for a bunch of very reasonable conditions that the program director in Victoria gave to me.
Yeah, they heard about you from Dale Cooper.
Yes, in a short terse letter.
That was friendly enough,
I have to say.
I mean Dave Cooper. Dale Cooper.
Yeah. I don't know who that person is.
I do.
I know you do. I know you're very. You know a lot of things that I don't know, which is quite obvious. So I tried to do that, and it just didn't work out, Dave. Too. They said that it was the holidays. They had every reason in the book.
Greg,
they didn't use the offensive thing on me that I might be offensive.
Greg.
Yeah.
People don't like listening at 8:30 in Toronto. Why would they listen at 5:30 in BC?
I know. I felt it was a good plan for people here in Victoria for this radio station, because no one would be listening. It'd be a low-risk adventure.
Yeah, but it would help improve alternative media across the country, the community for alternative media. They have conferences on this stuff.
I thought it'd be a good idea, but it wasn't even met with any type of let's try that at least once when you're here. Come over to the station and so on. And it's not that far away from where I'm sitting right now, this University of Victoria radio station, but let's just say it didn't work out as usual. I tried to get something going with the station in Halifax a couple of years ago when I was going to be away for the weekend. I had to go and I was lecturing there. I was going to lecture there about offensiveness. When they call me up from universities and other establishments around the world, I go and speak to university students about stigmatization and offensiveness and that combination.
And being hated.
Yeah, being disliked and dismissed. And,
are you an expert?
I speak on that all over Canada. This was a bit of a holiday for me. I didn't do that when I was here. I just was visiting my mother, my dear aged mother.
Then buying an HD TV.
Yes. Dave, too.
Yes, Greg.
You know, I just want to say, I can barely hear you. How are you doing with Dave, too? Can you hear him?
I can barely hear you, too, Greg.
I can hear him, but he's not great, but I can hear him. It just has him yell a little more.
Excuse me, Bob, I was
really
speaking.
Hard to hear, and I can commiserate with the some of the phone callers. I don't know. It's hard for me to figure out how they would hear this, what position they would be in when they call in or hear me or hear other callers. But this is brutal, trying to hear another caller on the air. You really have to strain to hear them, and they're just so far off in the distance.
Okay, don't worry about it, Greg.
Non-existent.
Greg, don't worry about it. It's coming out over the air.
But I do worry about it. Okay, so this is what happened. About 10, 11 days ago, about 2.5 weeks ago, I arrived here, and 3 days before that, as luck would have it, my mother's Zenith tube television set blew out. And she had a spare one around that we were sitting around and watching over the last little while. But it was decided, in a rare and uncharacteristic move for my mother of going out and actually spending some money on something for herself, she decided that, or she agreed with me, that we would go out and look for a new television set. She lives here alone, and it's a bit, she's a bit isolated here to a certain extent. So,
she's in her 80s, Greg?
She's in her 80s. Mm. She is. She's a
same age as me.
An octogenarian.
She's part of my peer group. Same age as me.
That's true. Yeah. You're a little bit older than she is, Bob. And an actor.
That's better, Danny. Is that a bit better now.
And it's quite offensive in some degree. But anyway, we, about 10, 12 days ago, we went out and we actually purchased a 52-inch LCD big screen television.
Yeah, Jack.
Pardon?
Nothing, go on.
You did say something, Dave, too.
And it was just installed this Friday. And I have to say that whatever I saw a few weeks ago at, or a few months ago at Mike Mann's house, you heard that clip perhaps of my guest Mike Mann and me and Daniel Becheret, talking about HD television.
And how to get it into your home.
And how to get it to your home. How I just couldn't even perceive how you could get it to, you know, they're so big. How do you move them?
Yeah.
And in this day and age, they don't have delivery anymore. We don't have Eaton's. My mother's still very upset about the
lights
being gone. Oh, my God. And that we couldn't have bought the set at Eaton's is disturbing to her. And so we got this HD TV, and I have to say, it does look great, and I don't care about content anymore, Bob. You should find that interesting. I just want to watch images. And they have a station on this cable here that they don't have in Toronto, I don't know about. And it's all pictures, just pictures of beautiful places, 24 hours a day. You can go to this station and just look at pictures. And Bob, you just have to look out the window.
Yeah, right? That's another attempt to be. It's all about living here. All of advertising is geared to where I am, Dobstown. That's what's amazing. Think of that. Everything has to have a motive to the dream zone, and this is it. I'm in it.
So, Dave, so I have to eat my words about this, or the technology has improved enormously over the last 6 months, which I wouldn't doubt. But this 52-inch television set is fantastic. It came in here. It looked a little big in the room. My mother was a bit worried about how big it would be. And her neighbor...
Yes, grew up the feng shui, right?
Yes. And her neighbor, one of her supposed friends...
Leave it down over there.
A friend,
sorry.
She got downright irritated that there would be a 52-inch going into what she called that small room. And she's very, very irritated. She says a 32-inch would just be fine. She says, that's what I'm getting. And you it's absolutely wrong that you would even think of getting a 52-inch. It's asinine. It's
obscene.
It's decadent.
Put it over there. Sorry. Go ahead.
What?
Dave say, put it over there.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I got some furniture being moved in here right now. I'm just trying to do two things at once. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, this thing is so thin.
Did you hear that? Dave's moving furniture himself right now.
No, I guess.
I'm in control here. You can't hear him. I'll have to translate.
It's hard to interact.
No, bring it over here,
we'll
guys.
We'll try over
here.
Time to interact.
Yeah.
I'm sure that, our technical person there, our technical volunteer, who's putting in their hours of service to be a full-fledged member of CKLN.
Greg, listen to this. Greg, the important point here is that this is a McLuhan-esque show. There's no show in the world that talks about the mechanics of doing this show so much as this show.
No, it's so dull.
He's talking about the technical background all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, in fact, it talks so much about these things that it sometimes overshoots on when the promotional announcement have to be paid. So I think we'll do that now. We're going to go to the promotional announcements, and then we'll be right back.
As a friend of mine would say, illogical. You're aware of the health risks, but you continue to smoke. Yes, quitting can be difficult. Hi, I'm Bill Shatner, and I want you to know, but now there's help. Now you can phone the Canadian Cancer Society's Smokers Helpline. Call toll-free 1-877-513-5333. It's a free service. It's your call.
The views expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated. Listener discretion is advised.
You know, CKLN Radio Incorporated really hates HD television because it's a distraction from radio. Good morning, everybody. I'm Greg Duffel, and on the phone with me, I'm on the phone, too. Phoning this one in completely is Bob Dobbs as well. I'm happy to have you here. Hi, Bob.
You have a good voice for radio, Greg. Connie was saying that the other day. Did you know that?
No, I have no idea of that. I'm very critical of my own voice. When I listen back to it, especially something recent. That show that I heard this morning, that little clip of the show, I don't even really recognize that's me, but I do giggle when I hear it.
Yeah, well, you don't sound like that all the time. Well, the way you're sounding now is a pretty, you could be commercial. You could be on Q107 or whatever they got there in Toronto.
Yeah, it's interesting how speaking over the discarnate airwaves is, it sounds better over the phone than it does on the microphones in the studio.
Well, how do you know how, what you sound like?
I have no idea how I sound.
But you're saying it feels better, your voice?
I feel more relaxed here, sitting here. It's just a more, less tense environment. You know, I'm not concerned about what might happen. It's just, I feel really laid back. And
yeah, well,
is Dave
you're not hated there. You're not hated in the CKLN studios. You get Dave Cooper coming around, other people, mafia people. You
I don't know.
Know
who you're talking about.
Lurking.
Put
some muscle on that guy. That's just muscle. You got to muscle him out. You know, you hear these things in the background. You know,
Greg,
you don't know who to talk about.
Greg.
You or Bernard, Dave Bernard, Denise Benson, somebody like that.
Cool it, Bob.
Muscle him out.
Cool it.
It will put you on edge when you're broadcasting and you're representing a community.
Okay, that's
true. I don't know who I'm representing. Is Dave 2 still there?
Yes, he's still here.
Hi, Dave 2. It's an extended break with Dave 2. Well,
hey, Greg.
I was going to ask you something. Oh, yeah, what do you think of all of this Gaza bombing? what do you think about this?
Are you asking me, Greg?
Yep.
I am asking you this.
Well, I think that they call it the violence in the Middle East, but there's only one side being violent.
Pretty much. Someone described to me here that the Israel is using these missiles and torpedoes and whatever they're using, everything is throwing the kitchen sink at these people in Gaza. And they said they described the Gaza rockets as little Mattel bombs.
Halloween bombs, firecrackers.
And the Zionist media, and it really is the Zionist media, you have to admit, when you watch this, and we see them constantly broadcasting the words of, and I hope I have this right, Avital Leibovich. Now, Avital Leibovich is a major, I guess, in the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, and she's the spokesperson. And we spoke about this years ago, about how police forces and people who are doing absolutely horrible things will get women to be the front persons for these terrible operations, or to put sort of a, and they do it on purpose. It's a public relations activity.
Like,
it's a public relations. Yeah, sorry, Dave. Too.
Do you mean like Dizzy Zippy?
Yes, you're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put women out in front to make it seem like it's a gentler operation than it really is, and so we're always seeing Avital Leibovich saying how sorry she is that they're blowing people up and destroying houses and telling people to, dropping leaflets, telling them to leave their homes and go somewhere. And then when they find out where all those people go, then they send a devastating missile into the same house that they told them to go to and blow all of them up and kill them. Somebody needs to get into Israel, occupy Israel. I really do think that this is necessary at this point, and it seems strange to have the occupiers be occupied, so you have two sets of occupiers in the area, but a humanitarian intervention is evidently required, as much as I disagree with those things. I saw a program with John Bolton, the former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., the guy who was described by the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
Scum.
Human scum. When he was, they actually referred to him as human scum when he was dealing with them in negotiations. So it was John Bolton, Mia Farrow, General Rick Hillier, and some other guy.
Rick Hillier?
Ryan Stewart from the CBC, from the National. And if we had sound effects at this point, we'd be playing the clip of the National right now. So imagine it, everybody. In this little spot here, imagine the National
Dave just whistled it, Greg. Dave just whistled it.
Yeah, I thought that was an attempt. I wasn't sure who was doing it. So, and they, and Mia Farrow was saying, they were all saying, yes, we need to intervene. But they disagreed on how to do it and when to do it, and, oh, it was terrible.
From
I
the Canadian broadcast system.
It sounds like a good idea at the time. But
do you know why this, you know why this bombing's happening? It's because the Israelis found out that the Palestinian elite scooped out Bernie Madoff's accounts.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, that's what
that was clever of them.
Yeah.
Is this this Tom Hennigan again?
No, this is me. This is real stuff.
Oh, you.
This is real.
This is real.
This is what really happened.
The mad ravings of Tom Hennigan.
Oh, no, he's got some good stuff out there, but nothing. He's got the opposite view.
Okay, can you explain this? Dave, too, I'm going to lose you just for now. I think you've, unless you have something else to say.
Well, let him say something.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Dave, too.
On Monday, you know what I saw on Monday?
What?
On Canada AM, they did an interview with a guy that was an adult who had ADHD, Greg. And they had an interview with him and his doctor. And the doctor said, well, we're trying hard with all kinds of medications. We're working on adults with ADHD. And then they spoke to him. They said, well, how are you making out with work and everything, you know, suffering from this disease? You know what he said? He said, well, I get really bored at work easy, and it's kind of monotonous, and then when things go wrong, I don't keep quiet. I speak up. So I thought that maybe I have ADHD, too. Maybe you have it, too, Greg.
I think so. Yeah, when things are going wrong, I speak up. Boy, are things going wrong.
Well, look at that, ADHD. You got ad and high definition.
Well, that's 22,
Bob. What are those letters again?
ADHD.
ADHD.
Yeah, add high definition.
Add high definition. Yeah, and it sounded like 88. It sounded like the code numbers, the broadcast frequency of this station.
Yeah,
okay, bye, Greg. Bye, Bob.
22 in there.
Bye, Danny.
Oh, I saw 22 last night.
Ciao, dude.
John Travolta.
Hey, I'll play it. Dave's trying to interject here. What, Dave?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dave, go.
I think he just said he was going.
Oh, okay. So you saw 22?
Yeah, it was John Travolta, and he said something about 22. I'll bring that in next week.
About his son?
It was an old clip. Mm. I just can't remember what it was. I'll bring it in next week.
So the elite behind the Palestinians, you know, the global Al-Qaeda, the global terrorists, the global Pentagon, the global whatever, the solar government, the bad boys, the people who inspired Dave Cooper, they want to get a problem going in the Middle East. They also want to turn some funds because they don't have any more from Wall Street, so they stole the Madoff accounts, and Israeli interpreted as the Israeli faction. They'd only know, I mean, as a Palestinian faction, they'd only know them as Palestinians. So they said, okay, all right, you'll play hardball? They're going to bomb them till forever because a lot of the wealthy Jewish people are bankrupt now.
Yeah. I think they got, what was it, Steven Spielberg was involved in that, and
kinds of people. There's all these people down in Palm Springs, Palm Beach, in Florida. They have huge mansions, and they were all selling their Christmas presents, or Hanukkah presents, whatever they get.
Some of them don't do Christmas.
Oh, they do it. They did it.
They needed it
this week, and so they're selling their stuff to get bus fare out of back to New York, I guess, or maybe back to Israel. I mean, you don't realize the accounts of the Jewish tribe have been scooped.
By the Palestinians?
By the Palestinians, as far as the Israelis are concerned.
And are the Palestinians going to go to North Korea and get a nuclear weapon and then somehow use it?
Yes, that is the Pentagon. The Pentagon boys will do that.
Well, that gives me a fantastic segue into something that you know, Bob, that I love to talk about, and that is the Dear Leader, and that is President Kim. And we haven't heard a lot about him, but I like to keep President Kim in our thoughts for the new year. This is the first...
Yes, indeed. We're hailing President Kim, but we are bashing Israel defending itself. That's a great idea, gentlemen.
Well, we have a telephone intervention.
Dave Cooper?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Hold on. We're hailing. You're right. We're hailing President Kim. Yes. He hasn't bombed anybody.
Oh no, he's only massacred his own people and starved millions by his own government's admissions.
How many
have
people...
you been there? Do you know this?
So where did you hear that?
Have you been to Palestine? Do you know this?
Yes, yes,
no,
I get around.
You haven't.
Yeah, he gets around like the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
He's a Beach Boy now. Didn't you know? Have you heard that?
The Beach Boys.
And they did a song called "I Get Around," or "I Get a Rhonda," or something like that.
Both these people work for me.
We've got somebody, Bob.
We've got someone now.
This is someone who is deeply offended by even the mention of the dear leader, President Kim.
Yeah,
and also seems to be upset about us saying things about the mad bombers of Israel.
Hear him out. Let's hear him defend his side.
Yeah, let's hear that. Yeah, that you're going to defend Israel for bombing the hell out of this little concentration camp that they've developed there.
Oh, wait. You guys are so off center. First of all, the first part you got wrong that really prompted me to call today was the comment about the bombs being toys. I have to tell you, those bombs that are being lobbed over into Israel, they're very deadly weapons. They really are.
Here, I'll go in and wake up the person who said that those were Mattel toys. I'll go in and wake them up eventually and tell them that they have it all wrong. I was just quoting someone else. That's my out here.
You're in the quasi-news media, so I don't know if you can get away with it that easily. But
Of course I can get away with it. This show has been, you've been warned that this show is offensive.
Yeah.
I can get away with anything.
Yeah, we ain't no news media.
Yeah, I'm stigmatized already. I'm stigmatized, I tell you. I'm stigmatized.
Try to be legitimate.
Keep going. I really need to hear what you have to say. You phoned in, and you're discarnate. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I feel for both sides in this situation. Unfortunately, the general media tends to feel, you know, more sympathy for the Palestinians. It's really a tough situation for both sides, guys, but I think people really need to understand that for 8 years straight, daily, sometimes 100 or more of those rockets land in Israel every single day. Imagine any country putting up with that for 8 years straight, not reacting, and having a government next door whose said mission it is to wipe you off the face of the earth.
Please, come on. 60 years. The thing is, you're either so influenced and so permeated by the Zionist Asper media that I've watched here, Kevin Newman and so on, showing pictures of these Israeli people saying, "Oh, it's been so inconveniencing. Look at this. My window's been shattered.
What?
You know, I got some
rockets.
Glass in my pristine little apartment that I have here, my little settlement that I've carved out for myself. Now, I'm not saying that Canada hasn't been carved out as a settlement over a long period of time, and they're just attempting to do the same thing in Israel over the last 60 years. But the thing is that it's never mentioned that these people who are taking action in their own land have
in
been
their own
tortured
land, lobbying
for the last
over
60 years
Israel, how is
by
that
having
action
a,
in their
a
own
settlement
land
by a bunch of foreigners. Who have come to that area and said, "This is our land and not yours." What do you think you do? You're saying
for
the last 8 years that these people...
Hey, Greg, he's talking over you.
Okay, go ahead.
Let him respond. We know what you're saying.
Yeah. You know my position.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, caller.
I'm sorry. Israelis are not foreigners. You know Judea and Samaria are ancient, ancient, ancient lands, period. The problem is that both people have a right to that land, period.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Most of those people are from people from the Caucasus.
Yes,
they're
and
not,
why is that?
They
the
have
Jews
no right to that land. They're not Semites. Some Jewish people are. Some people
well,
who have the Jewish religion are Semitic. And yes, they did come from that. They are from that area. But
exactly.
The majority of people who are from Brooklyn and from Russia and so on don't have any ancestors that came from that area.
Well, they do have ancestors. It's just a matter of how far
we don't know they came from that area.
You have to remember how dispersed.
There's no. I'll give you an example. I'm going to make a huge revelation here. All right, I'm going to do it. Maybe I've done it before. I can't remember anymore. I don't care anymore. I'm so stigmatized. I don't care. I don't matter. I don't care whether I'm further stigmatized by society. But I'm descendant of Ashkenazi Jews. My mother is sleeping in her bed in there. In her bed in there is even more descendant of Ashkenazi Jews. But I don't think there's ever been a claim made anywhere that we were descended from that region. Ever. I don't think that ever it was made that we were Semitic.
Oh, come on.
Oh, they're gone.
I'm right here. Well, I can't speak for your family, but, hey, come on. You know that in the Bible...
That we're heading that way. In the Bible. You'll hear more of this soon in the media. More Bibles.
A concocted document 300 A.D.
In the Bible, it says that people who are from the Caucasus, who adopted the Judaic religion, somehow have rights in a particular region of the world.
We need to play Zapasug. Dumb all over.
No, just like the Muslims have Mecca, we have Jerusalem. You know it's where the temple was. We have roots there. We have roots
there.
You can't
deny
that we don't have roots there.
I don't have it. Yet, the thing is that these are people. That would be like me going there. Are you saying that I could go there? My mother is a woman, right? And in the Jewish – I'm not saying I was brought up in the Jewish religion, you know, at all right? But I know that our descendants were Jewish people who did at one time practice Judaism. I know by the name and everything.
The family photos.
I'm from photos. My gosh, you should see these photos. And no one would guess. No one would ever guess. In fact, I think people have thought I was lying that I have any ancestry there because they say, you don't, you know, they're thinking, he doesn't look Semitic at all. Well, guess what? I'm not. I don't think I am. And if I am, then everybody could claim to be Semitic.
Well, I didn't get what you're saying. You're not what? You said
I'm not Semitic. I don't believe that I have, unless everybody is Semitic. I think everybody's from Africa, by the way. And Dave, too, has said that on
the
before, that
we're
all African
after
all.
And we're going back to claim it.
Right, I think. But caller, don't you think, I mean, we're settlers here.
Okay, yeah.
We're descendants of settlers, all of us.
Exactly, I agree.
And it's not right. It wasn't right. It was wrong. We were all piling in here. We're still all piling in here.
We're moving off this, you know, this area is too violent, but, you know, I'm sure you've, although you're not practicing Jew, neither am I must say, but I really feel for the Jewish people, and I feel for both sides. I got to say, as a human being, I hate to see Israel bombing, and, you know, and I'm sure the Israelis...
All right, hold on.
To send their boys and girls in there.
I got a comment. You can't, for a moment, caller, come in here and tell me that you care about people and then argue about religious and historical issues of rights of land. You don't care about people. You're arguing.
They have no right to land.
You don't care about people. You don't care. You like bombs.
They do have a right to the land.
Oh, you love
this person.
You love terrorism. That's
producer, Greg. Executive producer.
That's what you do. What you're arguing. Hold on. You can't say the F word. I had to dump you. Hey, listen. Hold on. I had to dump you. Hold on. Pause for a second. I had to dump you now for the second time because you've used the F word.
Danny, I got to be the authority figure here. I know you can be too.
Hold on.
Do this.
Yeah.
Listen, caller. What kind of radio station? What kind of broadcasting outfit do you think you're on here?
Yeah.
Do you think that you can just come on and start using words that you don't hear on regular media during the day?
Mm.
What do you think you're doing?
I think it's a Lord.
Just knock it off, okay?
Yeah, it's a Lord selector operation.
Just knock it off. I don't want to hear any more of your F words.
All right? I don't do it. I don't do it. I might want to do it when people like you phone in, but I don't do it.
Okay, let me call her. Hold on.
Knock it off.
People like me.
Caller.
Come on, man.
Caller, caller.
Knock it off.
You sound to me.
Shut up here, Greg.
I want an apology right now for doing that.
Apologize
to me right now.
If I've offended any listeners, yes, I do apologize.
Yeah, you're offensive. You're offensive. You're offensive. Now, so stop it.
Yeah, Greg, he said he's trying to get us in trouble with CRTC. This guy shouldn't be allowed on.
Hold on.
Let's slaughter all the Jews over there.
You might think that this is community radio and you can do whatever you want. Well, let me tell you, you can't do whatever you want on this thing.
He's gone.
And there are a lot of things I want to do, but don't do that. Don't do that. Don't ruin my show that way. Give your opinions, but don't ruin my show.
You thought you heard him say something about 5 minutes ago. You went, what?
Yeah.
You're sensitive. Yeah, but Danny caught it, our executive producer.
Oh, yeah, Danny caught it.
I caught it.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Carry on. Carry on, please.
He's gone. The caller's gone. He left the phone line. But the point I wanted to make to him was that...
Yeah, go ahead. Do it without that moron being on.
The reason why he supports terror is because Irgun and Stern Group were terror organizations in Israel, killing British soldiers. Irgun and the Stern Group both committing absolutely horrible atrocities, blowing people up. This is the origin. The origins of Israel is based upon political terror. That is terrorism. Now, he obviously supports terror. He thinks we support terror, so we all support terror. Let's all have a terror camp. We'll light
a
fire and sing.
That's our community.
Celebration of terror.
Yeah, hey. That's our community.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hi.
Yes, hello.
Greg?
Greg is there, yes. I think he can barely probably hear you.
Daniel.
Yes.
I have laryngitis.
You have laryngitis, yes.
But I wanted to say that if you check out Global Research and Rents, you'll find out that Palestine has gas and oil offshore, onshore, and the Israelis say that they can't take the money in any kind of form but goods and services because they're afraid that the money from the gas and oil will be used for weapons against Israel. In fact, Israel wants that gas and oil. And they want all the rights to it, and that's why the Palestinians are being destroyed right now, their infrastructure and everything, so that they'll pack up and move, because Israel wants the gas and oil that Gaza has. So if you could let people know that that's one of the main reasons why they're being bombed.
You just did that. You just informed people about the natural resource problem in Israel and people's fighting over natural resources.
That's right. That's why the Gazans, because there's a lot of oil and gas offshore Gaza and in Gaza.
How long have you had your laryngitis?
Oh, for 2 or 3 days.
2 or 3 days. It'll go away. I
like this laryngitis voice. I know it must be devastating for the person who has it that they can't communicate the way they normally do, but it's great for radio.
It is. It's a competition for Dave, too.
It's like Tom Touche, don't you think, Bob?
Yes, Tom Touche. But just think of Dave, too.
But don't
Dave
forget, guys.
It's like, yeah.
It's Dave, too, in high definition.
Guys.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, yes.
Also, the fact that Israel never gave back the Golan Heights because there is an oil pipeline running through it. That's why they won't give it back. Also, that's why the Iraqis were attacked and murdered, because the Iraqi oil was supposed to come through into Israel at Ashkelon. All of these wars in the Middle East are to bring oil into Israel. That's what it's all about. And now, because some of these things have fallen through because of Putin, etc., they need the Gaza oil and gas even more desperately, so they're ready to kill these people in mass to get
their hands
on it.
Don't use the phrase, it's all about. Not all about that. Is a factor. There's many other factors. You're a sign of stupidity, and we don't want stupid people in our Gibbsburg community. So don't say it's all about.
I'm not saying that's the whole reason at all. I know about the other reasons, okay?
Good.
Trying to get the real estate along with the chosen people, crapola, okay, et cetera. I know about that. But right now, most people don't understand.
Oh, this is weather.
I know, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Most people don't understand about the resources and the Palestinians. They don't know it.
All right. Well,
okay, thank you very much, caller. Okay. Thank you.
From the next break, I'm going to talk about another pipeline. Yeah.
Did you discreet? That previous caller, Greg, they cited the authority of the Bible, and then they swore. I mean, what a mixed up schizoid.
Mixed up, meddled up, crazy world, except for my Lola. All right.
Well, it's good to hear from Heather. Heather's always important when you bring in the Zionist topic.
Yeah, and thanks, Daniel, for breaking in there and trying to provide some sanity to the situation there as I got out of control about someone phoning in and ruining the discarnate landscape of that we tried to create. And the talking about pipelines.
Now, you're angry about that because of it as a setup, right? It gets you in trouble with CRTC.
Well, I just think that this caller phones in and is trying to make a point, and they obviously watch other media, and they don't see anybody, and they don't hear that kind of language being used on any other media, but somehow they feel that they can phone in to this station and since we're in dump world,
okay, we just dump something to me. We dump some facts at Tom DeCastro, and everybody's waiting here. We just said it, but executive producer on the ball dumped it, so you didn't hear it, okay? Back to you, Greg.
Anyway, getting to back to what I was going to talk about, that's why I got upset about that, because I just think, why are they not thinking about being on the radio when they're phoning into a radio station?
This ain't a radio station.
They don't think about it. I mean, let me just be clear. I don't have a problem with any language being used in broadcasting. Personally, I don't care. I don't think it's going to hurt anybody, but we can't do it during certain times on the air on this radio station and in the broadcasting world. It can cause problems. It can get you a complaint with the CRTC.
Well, that's what I was just saying, Greg. That's the real reason.
Yeah.
That's what you're upset about. The guy is sabotaging the show.
Yeah, and then we have to dump it so a bit is missing, and then our voices sound strange because of the amazing technology we've got there to dump things. And then our voices drop another octave, which sometimes sounds better, but then it goes away. It creates all kinds of organizational problems. And if you out there, if you want to do that, it's fine. I mean, we'll just dump it and we'll carry on.
Okay, we'll try again.
It seems so idiotic to do it.
We'll try again
anywhere else. So just stop it.
I don't think it was idiotic. That guy meant that. He did it on purpose.
If it's a show in the middle of the night and you want to phone in and do that, evidently you can get away with it. But
okay, here we go with another. Here we go with another caller. Here we go with another caller. Hey, you're on.
Were you up on that CCCP?
Hey, you're on the air.
Oh, I'll check that.
Yeah.
Hey, what? I think they just hung up. They just hung up.
Okay. So, speaking of natural resources, there's been a bit of a fight going on in the former Soviet Union. Russia, under the leadership of Medvedev, the great leadership of Medvedev, I think. We'll see how it all plays out, but I like this guy. The Ukraine, as of last evening, and I think a settlement has happened, there's a settlement in the dispute between Russia and the Ukraine, and last night it appeared to be imminent, and I think it did go through, and it was all based on if the petty, pesky, belligerent, thieving, lying, bitter, NATO-loving Yushchenko-led Ukrainian Western-controlled farcical government agreed to have European Union observers, quote-unquote, to make certain, to have them deployed, that no one in the Ukraine taps off free natural gas supplies.
Here we go with another call.
Almost certainly have been doing.
Here's another caller. Here's another caller.
Okay.
Hey, you're on the air. That's the second time the same person did that.
Okay.
That person's they're being a real a-hole.
Yeah. Sources in Romania and other Eastern European countries, they're first in line to receive the Russian natural gas as it leaves the Ukraine through a pipeline that rolls through there. Part of that part of the resources go through the Ukraine as they head to Western Europe and through Eastern Europe, have reported pressure drops, pressure level drops that appear to point to Ukrainian pilfering. So Russian President Medvedev is now declaring the ungrateful Ukrainian Yushchenko government, who currently receive a 50% discount on natural gas, Russian natural gas, compared to their westerly full-price-paying European neighbors. He's saying they're going to pay full price now. They're going up. The price is doubling. They're not going to give them special dispensation anymore. Imagine they were providing them 50% discounted natural gas, and they were having to steal that, according to Russian sources and the sources after the pipeline leaves Ukraine that the pressures were dropping. And brokering that natural gas deal was Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, and for the European Union was Mirek Topolánek, the Czech Republic's Prime Minister, and I believe he's the current EU president.
He is.
They tentatively gave him the role. You know, it's normally reserved for either France or England or something, but they gave it to this Czech Republic guy, Mirek, his Prime Minister, Mirek Topolánek.
And you know what Hennigan said about that, Tom Hennigan? He said when the Czechs came over to talk to the UN, that new EU gang, that they were really smuggling in killers to kill Tom Hennigan and Al
really?
Turner and everybody else, yeah. But
notice that I never claim that anybody's smuggling or doing anything to kill me. I mean,
they're not going to kill you, Greg.
There
you
are people
protected.
Who are against me, but I've never gone to the point of saying that they're going to kill me.
No, well, it's not that serious, Greg. You're protected. You know, you got to be here.
So despite his temporary role as the head of the EU, Topolánek had to show his subservience to his master, U.S. President George W. Bush, that he interrupted his meeting with Vladimir Putin, the Prime Minister of Russia, to have a quick chat with the dopey leader of the soon-to-be-bankrupted free world. The proposed deal to place an occupation force of European natural gas babysitters in the Ukraine to prevent pilfering of Europe-brown natural gas evidently has no time limit. So the Ukrainians, because they've been taking the natural gas that Europe so desperately needs, and 10 people at least have died in Poland, frozen to death, because they don't know why they were frozen to death, but Europe is in certain parts of Europe are in a real deep freeze at the moment, and they need that heating supply from Mother Russia. So Ukraine, very big, very bad little country, had to be disciplined by their NATO soon to be allies, and that Yushchenko. I don't know. I don't know about this Ukraine government. Got to get rid of that. So.